Ayo harati vai pungsam.
Ayo katari vai pungsam.
Yang astam chayang aso.
Tante yakshanonita
Uttama shoka vartaya.
What? Beta?
Oh my god.
Okay.
Are you?
Duration of life.
Duration of life.
Harati. Decreases.
Vai.
Certainly. Pungsam.
Pungsam.
Of the people.
Of the people.
Udyan. Rising.
Rising.
Astam. Setting.
Setting.
Cha. Also.
Also.
Yan. Moving.
Asau.
The sun.
Tasya.
Of one who glorifies the Lord. Rite. Except.
Yat.
By whom?
Kshana.
Time.
Nita.
Utilized.
Uttama shloka.
The all good personality of Godhead.
Vartaya.
In the topics of. Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. Repeat, both by rising and by setting. The sun decreases the duration of life.
Of everyone.
Except one who utilizes the time.
By discussing topics.
Of the all good personality of Godhead. Purport. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. End of quote. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord, injected through the ear by the pure devotee of the Lord, can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization, just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. There's a lot more to the purport. I think I'm going to stop there for now. We can talk about this, and maybe I can talk about why I picked this verse, although maybe some of you might have guessed. Om Jnanate Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshura Unnitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachalapam Vum Mangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarana Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesha Sanyavari Pasta Chade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Someone can tell me why I picked this verse?
New Year.
How's it connected? Happy New Year.
rising and setting of the sun, the years go by. And
yes. Yeah. Yeah. This verse, Prabhupada would quote this verse too, to describe the destructive feature of time. He quotes, even in the beginning of his purport, the famous quotation, time and tide wait for no man. And although we can talk about how time destroys, Krishna even presents himself to Arjuna by saying, Kalosmi, I am time. Come to destroy everything in the form of time. Everything in this material world takes place due to the influence of time. Even when creation takes place, Krishna first has to create time. Because without time, how can there be creation? Because creation means there is a beginning. So for there to be a beginning, there has to be a time when it began, although normally we speak of the beginning as time immemorial. We can't remember it. So, and of course, whenever there is a beginning, Krishna also explains, second chapter, for one who takes his birth, death is certain. So whenever there is a beginning, there must be an end. So everything in this material world goes through continuous transformation due to the influence of time. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, or Krishna, in fact, even states that the material nature of the material world is that it's endlessly mutable. Well, it's constantly changing. Again, because of the influence of the time factor. And if we analyze, the only thing that doesn't change is this immutable factor. It's always existing. This nature of the material world is that it's always changing. So, Prabhupada, Sukadeva Goswami states that when the sun rises and the sun sets, the rising and setting of the sun, or the passing of time, decreases everyone's duration of life. And of course, it's quite unusual when we think about it that people celebrate this in a very joyous way. Of course, usually their celebration is that in anticipation of a new year, a new opportunity for fortune, good fortune. Let's hope the next year is better than this one. Therefore, the new year is a time we can celebrate good fortune, because at least when the ball falls, nothing's happened just yet. We still have 365 days left to see if what fortune will appear, good or bad, for the rest of the year. So, in that sense, we can celebrate that, yes, the ball fell and I'm still here. And but, nonetheless, the destructive feature of time is no one is exempt from that destructive feature. And therefore the verse emphasizes how to best utilize time. Now, of course, sometimes we may hear this verse, because there are so many verses Srila Prabhupada would quote, which is given us in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that one should use every moment in the service of the Lord. Savai pung samparo damo yato bhaktirat hoksache ahetukyapatiyata yayatma supersediti. That the only way the self can become satisfied is when one engages in devotional service without any motivation and without any interruption. That means in every moment. And therefore, we may feel discouraged if we think that, how can I possibly utilize every moment and actually be successful in this human form of life? Therefore, Prabhupada, in his wonderful way, as the acharya who always extended pure devotional service and made it accessible to everyone, and always presented in a way that would encourage people to take up devotional service without the anxiety or fear that it's all or nothing. Unless it's all, I don't gain anything. So Prabhupada makes it clear in this purport that yes, although that is the goal, to constantly utilize the time. In fact, in this chapter of the Bhagavatam, there's a verse, Prayena Munio Rajan Nivativita Sevata Nagunyastara Mantesma Gunanukata Nehari, that the topmost transcendentalists, they derive their pleasure only by discussing, only by hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's their only source of satisfaction. Nothing else can satisfy them. So, but Prabhupada explains that to utilize the time, he says that, so the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. I think he often also speaks about it one more time elsewhere, about the necessity to cultivate spiritual values. In fact, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, where he says, "What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted and experienced by years in this world? Better one moment of full consciousness, because that will enable one to search after one's ultimate interest." So Shukadeva Goswami says, one moment, even if you use one moment in a very valuable way, that one moment used in a very valuable way is better than a whole lifetime wasted in sense gratification. So, even one moment, we can get a chance to realize and to become successful in the human form of life. And then also in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the value of a moment's association of a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to elevation to heavenly planets, to liberation from matter or resultant of material prosperity. One moment in association of a devotee is so valuable. In fact, Lord Chaitanya even states lava matra, which is 1/11th of a moment, is valuable. If, of course, one takes advantage of that moment to understand or to cultivate spiritual values in life. If spiritual values are not cultivated, that the warning is given in this verse, time and tide wait for no man. If spiritual values are not cultivated, then time will take away every golden opportunity that may be presented before us to utilize life to its full potential. And as Prabhupada said, even millions and millions of dollars cannot purchase that one moment that's been lost, which has been wasted. So, tide is affecting everyone, but it's also very important to take note that this verse states that it will not affect one who utilizes the time properly. As the verse states, rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So when I say, oh, hey, I remember when Naranjana Swami had a whole head full of black hair. Now there's a lot of white hairs there. And many of you might remember when Naranjana Swami was, 20 years old, brahmachari. Full of energy, and now 42 years have passed. It's happened to me. Happening to everyone. One may see, just recently I was watching Prabhupada in Vrindavan in 1977. Although, I will share something, because it's relevant. I had a good fortune. Somehow, I discovered that there were 367 files from 1977 of conversations with Srila Prabhupada. And they were on a site, I'll tell you where they are, called prabhupadvani.org. If you go there, you can download them one at a time, but I found out a way to download them all at one time. So I downloaded all 367. And usually every day when I take prasadam alone, I listen to them. that are uncut, unedited, full, everything Prabhupada's was recorded in 1977 that we have. And not many of them are missing. I looked at the list of those that were missing from 1977. Not many of them missing. It was a good year for that respect, for collecting Prabhupada's material. And most of these were not lectures. Only a few of them were lectures. Most of them were just conversations Srila Prabhupada was having with the devotees. And although right now I'm only up to like about beginning of February, I've maybe listened to more than 30, because some days actually have more than one recording. And already in the month of January 1977, I've been able to grasp the lesson Prabhupada's teaching. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and I know it only gets better. Because when I've downloaded the files, I gave them to Shivaram Maharaj also. And he's listened to all of them. And he finished them last week. And last week he sent me an email and he said, "Maharaj, I don't know how to thank you." You know, of course, I didn't do anything. I just gave him these files. He said, "I don't know how to thank you." He said, "Listening to these files has been completely transformational. It's changed my life. He said, I've learned now. Now I know what I have to do with this life." By listening every day, right up until November 14th, 1977. But I've already, even in the first month of January, I've already captured a little bit of the lesson that Prabhupada is teaching us. And repeatedly, again and again, speaks about in a very, in his transcendental way, of how the body is temporary, and it's going to grow old and die, and how one has to properly utilize the time. And he's reminding again and again when the devotees are trying to make so many different types of arrangements for his physical body. He was so lucid, so transcendental, and so instructive, you know, by saying, as he did many times, "Don't think this won't happen to you." But I guess for me, because I'm listening to them every day, and there's many other topics being discussed. I just finished listening to Prabhupada. He just left Bhubaneswar. He gave a lecture, quite a heavy lecture. And he's talking about many other things. In January, there was a lot of conversations about book distribution, and devotees were giving Prabhupada the statistics of the number of books that were being distributed throughout the world, and Prabhupada was expressing his great pleasure. And Prabhupada was talking about Juhu Temple, establishing the Juhu Temple, and the conversations he had about that when he was in Bombay. And then, of course, when he was in the Kumbh Mela, many conversations he had with devotees, you can hear. Prabhupada was put underneath this railroad bridge in the Kumbh Mela. Wasn't very pleased by the location. You can hear the train going by continuously during his conversations. But again and again, he would always just remind the devotees of the temporality of the body. Now, someone may say that, Prabhupada was instructing that, but he was also teaching by his example. I mean, this is Prabhupada's, my own realization that I've gotten this year. I shared with the devotees last time, I think I was in Hartford in September, having read Prabhupada Lilamrita again, all six volumes, and had read several other books about the early days of Srila Prabhupada and the life of Srila Prabhupada. Miracle on Second Avenue, I read it for my third time. It's like that Prabhupada's life was to teach by his example, not just words. Many of us can speak words, and sometimes in a convincing way. Or many of us can present things in a very academic way. Prabhupada could speak very simply, and his message would come through loud and clear, because his life was so much of an example of everything he would speak about. What impressed me as I spoke about last time I was here with the early days is how Prabhupada convinced people to take up devotional service because of his example. And most people had no idea what, you know, Prabhupada was. I mean, when you listen to the 1966 lectures in Second Avenue, Prabhupada was speaking from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 19 about pure devotional service, instructions of Rupa Goswami. You know, and who was he speaking to? You should know that. You know, especially when you hear the questions, you know. You know, it wasn't all lodged completely and fixed in the mind that, you know, everybody fully understood Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami. And therefore, we're able to understand philosophically, based on the teachings of Chaitanya Charitamrita, be thoroughly convinced simply by the readings of these books about the nature of pure devotional service and the importance of the human form of life. But Prabhupada presented the philosophy, but what really was so much convincing was his example. Because, as I was explaining last time, some of you weren't there, so therefore I'm taking the opportunity to repeat my own realizations that I had from reading all of these books and cross-referencing them, especially about the early days, that what people became attracted to more than anything else was to do something for a genuine person. That was it. I mean, he was so genuine. Prabhupada, as the saying goes, he just walked his talk. Whatever he spoke about, he was doing. And because he himself was so fully engaged that people were able to perceive that, you know, that he was somebody who was so genuine that they wanted to do something for him. And therefore, even Mukunda Maharaj volunteers this information at the beginning of Miracle on Second Avenue, right? Right? When he was in Kali Jurgen's place, and then he was Prabhupada was kicked out because the wife of Kali Jurgen's didn't want the Swami to stay in there because he spoke too much about these regulative principles, and she didn't want her husband to become infected with this this mentality. What are these regulative principles? And so basically, I guess she gave him an ultimatum: it's him or me. And then Prabhupada was out, and then they had to find a place. And Mukunda Maharaj, you know, he's the one that went and said, "Let's find a place for the Swami, some storefront." And he was quite candid, and you know, in, especially in his presentation of Miracle on Second Avenue, that he was just, you know, he was just going along for the ride, but he wasn't really fully understanding the transformation that was about to take place or what was taking place in his life. He just knew he wanted to do something for the Swami because he was genuine. And therefore, or as I also spoke about last time, which is the biggest realization I got from these reading the memories of the early days, is that the people that Prabhupada was speaking to, like 90% of them were from hippie culture, which meant, you know, no authority. Forget it. Most people, the hippies, were completely possessed of the mentality to reject authority. And here comes a saintly person descending from the spiritual world who says, who speaks in such an authoritative way and actually is representing the highest authority. And, you know, in fact, one of the things that I noticed, I read it in a couple of places, might have been a miracle on Second Avenue, was when Prabhupada finally broke the news to the people who were staying in the front of in the storefront that they had to take a shower. And a bunch of hippies living in the front, and Prabhupada came forward and said, "Oh, by the way, you know, spiritual life means we shower at least twice a day." So what did they do? They went up in Prabhupada's apartment, and Prabhupada had to stand in line and wait to take a shower while they were lining up to use a shower. Teaching by his example? Everything. Teaching by his example. It was his whole life. It was from the very first day. And in fact, if we want to, really, if we want to commemorate 2015, and this is, I really believe that this is a theme that we really should focus on, teaching by example. Because nobody could teach it better than Prabhupada. And not only that, but teaching by his example also implies and necessitates that those who hear him will learn from his example. Otherwise, without the example, we live in a complete bewildered state of mind. It's the example that inspires us. It's the example that gives us faith, confidence. It's possible. It's the example. Without the example, it's theory. That's why Lord Chaitanya came. Because it's Kali Yuga. He knew unless people saw an example, these people are never gonna catch it. They're never gonna figure it out that love of God is the primary method of self-realization, chanting through the Hare Krishna through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So he said himself that Yuga Dharma Pravatama Nama Sankirtan Jali Bhava Bhakti Diyu Nachamubhavaya. I will come, I will teach the whole world. I will inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and I'll awaken everybody to the ecstatic symptoms of transcendental mellows, four transcendental mellows of loving Krishna. He explains that after saying that, you know, I have to come again myself and teach by example, because without example, nobody knows what to follow. And the verse is quoted in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna states that when I come, even I have to come and teach by my example, because if I didn't, then the whole world would be put to ruination. So, it's the example that convinced so many of us to understand the importance of bhakti, of devotional service, and to, throughout his whole life with us, or throughout those 11 years with us, Prabhupada taught by his example, and even in the last days he taught us. He said, "Now it's time to teach how to die." In fact, when I think it was Yadavara asked Prabhupada if he could film Prabhupada, wasn't it, in Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, "Yes, you should go ahead and you can film it." He gave him permission when he departed from this world. He wanted the lesson to be learned. And although I'm sort of like at the end of January, I've kind of skipped ahead on some of them and listened to some of them. And Prabhupada gets more and more, not just repetitive, but speaking more lucidly about the temporary nature and how the body will go, and showing, you know, very, it wasn't unconcerned, it was clear that Prabhupada's concern to stay was only, because the disciples, you know, and as Prabhupada was pulling our heartstrings, all of us, he was indicating again and again that he would stay for that. But as far as himself, it was whatever Krishna decided. That was Prabhupada's will. And for those of us who were present, Prabhupada taught us that prayer whenever he was ill. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, you know, please save Srila Prabhupada. I heard it different ways. Do you remember?
Please keep him. I think it was more. Please keep him with us.
Keep him with us. Yeah. I remember in 1974, when Prabhupada was sick in Vrindavan that time, we were up all night, kirtans, and my dear Lord, Prabhupada told us, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, if you so desire, that was Prabhupada's will, whatever Krishna wanted. So, his example is there how to utilize one's life to its fullest. And Prabhupada would oftentimes say, in fact, I heard it in one of the conversations, he was saying that, he says, I still want to jump like a child. He said, but I can't, I don't have that body anymore. He said, I can't do it. He was commenting in that way. Body won't do it, I can't do it anymore. So there's so many things that, you know, will, so much evidence that will come in our life that time is having its impact on our lives. And therefore, the encouragement Prabhupada gave was not only in his teaching, but was in his example about how to utilize the time, or as he says here, by cultivating spiritual values. Spiritual values means understanding that I have an existence that goes beyond simply fulfilling the needs of my body and working to maintain the body and the family members, the bodies of the family members. Some time has to be utilized for cultivating spiritual life. If no time is wasted, then, as the verse states, then it will decrease the duration of life, and that's it. Time will decrease our duration of life. But if one utilizes the time properly, then Prabhupada oftentimes referred to these topics about Krishna as deathless narrations. And deathless narrations means that for one who hears them, he won't have to experience death. Although it may appear that the physical body is aging, growing old, becoming diseased, but the more he utilizes the time for cultivating spiritual values, the more he comes to the transcendental platform. And Hiha Yasya Hare Dasya Kamana Manasagira Nikalavapyavasta Sujiva Mukta Sauchite. Prabhupada would quote this verse by Rupa Goswami that for one who utilizes his ears, his mind, body, and words, for engaging them in the service of the Supreme Lord, then he becomes a liberated soul even while he's within the material body. He's liberated. Why? Because these activities are good as liberated activities. And Prabhupada gives the example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's the third canto. He gives the example about the liberated souls. He says that when one is fully engaged in liberated activities, which means cultivating spiritual values, then one comes to the liberated platform. And although it may appear that the body continues to grow old, become diseased, and dies, Prabhupada explains that it's just like the fan. He says that when you pull out the plug of the fan continues to move. But it doesn't move because of electricity. It moves because of the previous movement. So therefore, the blade continues to move. But there's no electricity. So it appears that it's moving as if it's plugged in, but it's not. It's simply moving because previously it was moving. So he says in the same way, for one who cultivates spiritual life and comes to the platform of becoming fully engaged in such activities, then his body appears to grow old, appears to die, but actually it appears to be the result of karma, but there's no more karma. There's no more karma. It's deathless. Doesn't have to take his birth again. So many places Krishna says, doesn't take his birth again. Janma kama chame divyam, even yoveti tattvata, tattva deha punam jama, naiti mamiti sojana. One understands the transcendental nature of my activities and pastimes in this world, doesn't have to take my appearance and activities in this world, doesn't have to take his birth again, but achieves my eternal abode. So, cultivating spiritual values. What are spiritual values? Well, spiritual values are those discussions which help us to realize our spiritual nature. When Siddhartha Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, who am I? Why do I have to suffer the threefold miseries? Lord Chaitanya's very simple and complete answer was Jivera Surupoya Krishna Nityadas. Well, that I am a servant of Krishna. And what does a servant of Krishna do? He gives his ears, he gives his tongue for hearing and discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. That's all. Utilizing the time for transcendental topics, for spiritual topics. It's just a matter of how we use the time. Every day comes, we figure out ways how to use the time. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we have to kill time. We even use the expression, how to kill time. Although time kills us. Many people say, it reminds me of the man I met. It was a while ago. I often tell this story. It's one of my favorite stories. When I was in Montreal, I was visiting the temple, and I had to write my Vyasa Puja offering. And the temple president came in to me and said, and it was the deadline also, time again. I was up against the deadline. I had to have my Vyasa Puja offering for Pure Prabhupada finished by the next day, because if it wasn't in, it wouldn't go in the book. So temple president, and I only had 1 hour. I had a program after that. I had 1 hour to write the offering, and I had to go out to some program. So the temple president came in and said, Maharaj, there's a man who came right now to the temple, and there's nobody to talk to him. Will you speak to him? I tried to tell him, well, you know, I've got 1 hour to write. And I had been sitting there already for some time, as it usually happens when I sit down to write my Vyasa Puja offering. I sometimes sit with a blank stare, you know, where do I start? You know, I don't know where to start. So this was my state of mind, and the president says, there's a gentleman coming, and he wants to speak to somebody. Will you go and speak to him? So I resisted. But he said, Maharaj, he's a nice man. Why don't you just go talk to him? I'm sure he won't be here for very long. So I relented, and I went into the reception area of the Montreal temple. And then the man sat down. Older man. Well, not that old. But maybe it was late 60s, 70, something like that. And as soon as I sat down, he just started talking. And he was talking about Prabhupada. And he told me, he said that he used to be the commissioner or captain of the Montreal Police Department. I can't remember, one of the two. And he said to me, do you know, when your Prabhupada came here to Montreal, I was there in the airport, and I saw him. And then he looked down and he said, if only I knew then what I know now. He said, why? I don't know why. I'm too old now. I should have given my life to him and become his disciple. He said, simply by seeing this man, he said, I've not been able to forget him. And he has just kept on speaking about Prabhupada, about how much he reads Prabhupada's books, and how much he relishes reading Prabhupada's books. And he went on talking and talking, like, for about a half hour. I mean, I don't know why the temple president said he only has a few questions, because there were no questions asked. He was just, the only thing he wanted to do was talk about Prabhupada. And then he pulled out his Bhagavad Gita. He had this little pocket Bhagavad Gita, and it looked really, really red. He said, you see this Bhagavad Gita? I've read it 36 times. He said, I can't stop reading it. He says, sometimes my wife, she goes shopping, and she takes a long time. And she says, I don't know when I'll be out, but I tell her, don't worry, I've got my Bhagavad Gita. He said, take as long as you want. And the Bhagavad Gita that he had definitely looked like, I mean, here you would think, here's a man, you know, he's got time to kill, but he's waiting for his wife while she's shopping. But he's there. And he said, right now, the only reason why I'm here is because my wife went shopping and decided it was close to the temple. I decided I'd come to the temple and talk for a while. So after talking for it was at least 30, 40 minutes, he said, well, I got to go pick up my wife. So he started to walk to the door and stood and held his hand on the doorknob. He said, oh, you know, by the way, my wife and I, together, we read Prabhupada Lilamrita every night. He said, she won't read this Bhagavad Gita, but I can get her to read Prabhupada Lilamrita. And then he started, with his hand on the doorknob, he started telling a story from Prabhupada Lilamrita about Prabhupada for another 15 minutes. And he looked at his watch and said, well, I better go. My wife will be angry with me. And you're gone. So was my hour. But the next morning I woke up real early and I just repeated everything that happened in that hour with him. And that was my Vyasa Puja offering that year. And it was an hour well spent. Well spent. I was seeing, it was like, wow, Prabhupada's books. Right, here's a man who learned how to utilize time. He was a police commissioner. Saw Prabhupada in the airport when he came to Montreal. Changed his life. Valuable moments association with a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared. Elevation, heavenly planets, liberation for matter, for worldly prosperity. Just that, look at that one time he saw Prabhupada. 36 times. How many of you have read Bhagavad Gita? I haven't read Bhagavad Gita 36 times. So, I guess that's another example of Prabhupada's example. You know, that even by seeing a devotee who's so fully engaged in devotional service, one's life can be changed. So, therefore, the responsibility is on us is that, well, how are we going to use the time? If we have time, should we kill it? Or let it kill us? Or should we use it properly for taking advantage? Well, certainly a lot of us, our days are busy. We have a lot of obligations, of responsibilities, things we have to do. But all of us can find some time for spiritual activities, and especially when Prabhupada makes it so easy. Just open up Bhagavad Gita, open up Krishna book. Prabhupada makes Krishna so accessible. Lord Chaitanya is glorified by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says that, I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean transcendental mercy, because although the subject matter of bhakti is very difficult to understand, nonetheless he has so easily made it accessible in this age of Kali. So easily accessible. This is Prabhupada. Prabhupada made Krishna so easily accessible to us. Gave us Krishna's name. He gave us Krishna book. He knew he may not even live long enough to give us the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So wanting to make Krishna accessible to everyone, he gave us Krishna book. We can have all of Krishna's pastimes. Even if, like we used to do in the old days, we sit down at the end of a long day and take hot milk and read Krishna book at night.
Vivaswan,
that's right. Yeah, Vivaswan, always be Krishna book to us. Utilizing the time makes it so easy. No austerities, not to worry about austerities. Austerities are just finding the time to hear Krishna book. That's our austerity. Finding the time to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Chant Hare Krishna. We have to find the time. If we don't, time is going to take everything away. Very quickly. Very quickly. But if we use the time wisely, we'll find the time is there. It's there. Especially if we understand the importance. And if you want to understand the importance, listen to 367 Conversations, 1977, of Srila Prabhupada. I promise you, you will never forget. Never. I promise you will never forget the importance of utilizing this human form of life to its full potential. Prabhupada gave it all. Everything. So merciful. So kind. So caring. So loving. And he gave us even his death for us to show us how to die in full Krishna consciousness. And perfect one's life. One time a young child, I can't remember who it was, said, Prabhupada, if I don't make it in this life, you'll come back and get me? Prabhupada said, yes, but don't take advantage of it. Don't make your spiritual master come back. Prabhupada was ready. But he taught us everything. Now all we have to do is take the gifts he's given to us, celebrate them by living them and teaching others how to live as Prabhupada wanted us to live. Prabhupada makes it very clear. This is the way to become happy. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
First sentence of the purport is interesting. He says, by acceleration of devotional service, this word, I never heard this word acceleration used in connection with process of devotional service.
First, indirectly confirms the great importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service.
I just never heard this word used in connection with worship.
Well, basically, I guess what Prabhupada's saying is if you utilize the time properly, you accelerate devotional service instead of accelerate the other way. Yeah. Right? What does Prahlad Maharaj say? Matirna Krishnem Paratak Pato. Matirna Krishnem Paratak Svatova. Mitom Pipajeta Kriha Vratanam. Adanta Gobir Vishitam Tamikshvam. Punak Punashchava Tacharvanahanam. He says that because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too much attached to the material body, they accelerate towards hellish conditions of life and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna can never be aroused, either by their own efforts, by the good instructions of others, or by a combination of both. So we can accelerate one way or we can accelerate the other way. So... Prabhupada, I guess, is using the word acceleration in the real sense of the term. Accelerate. Can we have one more kirtan? Short one?
Yes.
Is that okay? We have time.
Long
to...
one.
We have time to kill
before
midnight.
As long as Prabhu gets awake for the morning aarti, we are good.
Well, well, I said, any questions or comments?
Yes, I think that couple must have been very, very happy. Because she would shop all the time, and she shopped so much that he read the Bhagavad Gita 37
times. She should get some credit of being the woman behind
I don't think that's the only time we read it when she was shopping.